The text for the sermon is from the scripture reading in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word of the Lord through Isaiah the prophet, here is God's word of hope. The Lord was promising good things for the future, good things in the future, hope for the future. From the point of view of Isaiah and the people of God in the Old Testament to whom these words came first, that future was still far away. It was the distant future. It would still be a long wait for God's people before these words of hope came to fulfillment. The future that Isaiah saw and prophesied was like looking across a deep, dark valley to a beautiful mountaintop on the other side. You can see from a distance what's in the distance, but there's still something looming in between here and that destination, that distant future. There's a dark valley in between. And the deep, dark valley that had to be crossed to get to the beautiful mountaintop on the other side, the deep, dark valley was the exile to Babylon. God's people would have to go through the darkness of exile. That's how Isaiah chapter 8 ends. The people of God will look to the earth and behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. That's the end of Isaiah chapter 8. But then, Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah is allowed to prophesy hope for God's people beyond that darkness to come. Which means that for God's people, it doesn't end in darkness. It doesn't end in the deep valley for God's people. There is something better coming in the future. It is in the distance, but it is coming. There is the mountaintop on the other side of the deep valley. Isaiah prophesies, he reveals good things in the future for God's people. He tells of hope. We know from the New Testament, which we also read from Matthew chapter 4, we know that when Jesus settled in Capernaum, this word of Isaiah the prophet came to fulfillment. And that means the hope of God's people has now come. And we today are in a great place, historically speaking. Not that we have nothing left to hope for. We still hope as well for a beautiful future. But we can also already say our hope, the hope of God's people, has come. Our hope has come because Jesus has come. Which also means the darkness did not win. With all that we still have to hope for and with all the gloom we still have to travel through, we know where we are in history. We know that the darkness does not win. We know with more certainty that life does not end at the bottom of a dark valley away from God. God in his Son has come into the darkness to lead us through to glory on the mountaintop on the other side. Jesus came and settled in Capernaum with us. Our hope has arrived. Our hope is here. We look closer at some aspects of the hope which God prophesied through Isaiah in chapter 9. First, we look at the need for hope. The hope that God gives to his people was needed because, as we said, because of a dark valley looming, which was the exile into Babylon. And the exile to Babylon was because of sin, the sin of God's people. We read about that at the end of Isaiah chapter 8. The sin of idolatry, false religion. God's people were looking for light from the dead, mediums and necromancers, looking for light from the dead, from false gods, instead of seeking the light of truth from God, from His Word, the living God. God's people leaning on false gods. Leaning on false gods, very evident when you read through Isaiah chapter 8. Leaning on false gods, that's not an exclusively pagan problem. It's a human problem. Belongs also to our nature. And was troubling God's people in the day of Isaiah. Looking for life, fullness of life, guidance, not from the living God, not from the Lord God, who is the only source of truth and life and light, because of the darkness of sin in the people's hearts and lives, God gave His people over to their darkness. They didn't want to look to the Lord, and so the Lord sent His people away. That's what the exile was. The darkness of exile is a fitting consequence to the sin of God's people. It's like the Lord says, if you seek darkness, if you go to the dead for light, if you seek darkness, then the Lord will give you what you wanted. Go to darkness. Go to darkness. That's the context of the prophecy of Isaiah 9. This is what is underlying or behind the hope that God's people need. This is why we need hope from the Lord. We need help for our darkness, which is ultimately not a difficult life as such, but we need help for the darkness, which is sin in us. By our sin and willfulness, doing life our way on our terms, we make a mess of life and reap the bitter consequences. The mess we make, the consequences we reap, are painful and fearful and leave us hopeless at the bottom of a valley, alienated from God and from life, under the oppression of sin and enemies. Life on our own terms, looking for it everywhere but from the Lord God, does not actually give life or freedom, or prosperity, or good. It's a place of darkness and slavery, oppression, exile. The hope that the Lord gives in Isaiah 9 begins with a lot of geography, names of places, Zebulun and Naphtali, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. Those were two tribes of Israel, each tribe with a land division in the north of the land of promise, northern Israel. The way of the sea and the other side of the Jordan, that's like the west road and the east road, boundaries of the land, and then Galilee of the Gentiles, Galilee of the nations. Now, Galilee of the Gentiles, that's something like when we would say, well, that's in Timbuktu, right? Galilee of the Gentiles, the northern edge of life, the world, the edge of the land of promise. The northern edge of the land of promise is where God's people get mingled with and swallowed by not God's people. Nations, Gentiles, which is also why the exile came there in the north first. That's where the enemies came in from the north, the Assyrians. The Assyrians took God's people captive, brought them into exile from the north first. That's where sin and its effects came in first and last the longest. Life on the edge of promise. It gets dark there first. It stays dark there the longest. So that's what's going on with the geography in the first part of Isaiah 9. But now the Lord says the good things of the future will come there first. Hope is for the people who were the first and the longest oppressed under their sin and the consequences of sin. This emphasizes then the Lord's grace for sinners, God's deep compassion and mercy. God is gracious. He addresses the clear need of his people where the need is so pronounced and deeply felt. We are reminded of how the Lord Jesus came among God's people. We read in the Gospels that Jesus came eating with tax collectors and sinners in Israel. Why? Because of the grace of God and his compassion for sinners. The same way Jesus came and settled in Capernaum. He didn't come to Jerusalem, not first. Capernaum, Galilee of the nations. As Jesus said, it's the sick who need a physician. It's the people in deepest darkness who need light. Hope for the hopeless. That's the gospel. Hope for the hopeless. And that's where salvation comes in. And that's where God's salvation reaches us. That's where the future begins. That's where to find it. We must learn to understand from Isaiah where our hope comes in. And then expect to find it there. Don't look somewhere else. Expect to find it there. Jesus of Nazareth, who was first born in Bethlehem, who settled in Capernaum. Those are kind of like three nowhere places. Nazareth, Bethlehem, Capernaum, where the darkness and hopelessness is the strongest. That's where salvation comes in. That's where to look for it. It would be a shame if we missed the hope of salvation, the future, because we think ourselves too good for the good news coming to Capernaum. But we don't live in Capernaum. Galilee of the Gentiles, that's not our neighborhood. Sin, not us so much. We're from Jerusalem. Jesus said, well then, if that's your attitude, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if the tax collectors and the sinners enter the kingdom before Jerusalem people. Because they understand the darkness in light of Jesus who settled in Capernaum. So what does the hope of salvation give us? Or what does the hope that God gives sinners consist of? The prophet gives images. The first thing and the dominant thing is light. Where there was darkness, which is also an image here, where there was darkness, there is now great light coming. No more gloom. No more gloom. Darkness represents sin and the effects of sin. Darkness, sin, leaves people blind about life, unable to live life freely. Darkness is symbolic of life not thriving at all. Life going out, waning. life oppressed. Darkness makes us think of the grave. So then light means that life comes back and freedom to live. Knowing, seeing how to live life in the light, living successfully. Where there's light, you can see the way, you know the truth, you understand where to go. Those who live in darkness, the light will shine on them. That means life flourishes. And so, verse 3, God's people are restored to prosperity and joy. The nation multiplies, is increased. The joy multiplies, is increased, says the prophet. In the presence of the Lord, there is life. The prophet speaks of joy like at harvest time. Again, imagery, symbolic language. The joy of harvest, the fullness of life joy. And joy like after an army comes home with spoils because of victory. Prosperity and joy, abundant life. That's what the Lord is giving his people to hope for. Life fully restored, all the fullness that goes with life in the presence of God in the land of promise. So what the Lord is promising is the complete reversal of the effects of sin. Where sin thrives, life and joy goes away. Life goes out, joy grows dim. But where the Lord comes with hope, it's hope for life restored, life thriving, joy increasing, because sin and its effects are overturned. See, this is why Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, this is why Jesus brings the fulfillment of this prophecy. Where Jesus comes, the light goes on. Where Jesus comes, the darkness goes away. Why? Because Jesus is the Savior from sin, Matthew chapter 1. So where Jesus, the Savior from sin, comes, the light goes on. Life comes back. The darkness goes away. Jesus is the Savior from sin. If verses 2 and 3 show us what the hope for the future of God's people consists of, light and life and joy and prosperity, the next two verses, verses 4 and 5, show us one component of how the Lord will bring about this hope. The prophet says, "For you will break the yoke of their burden and the staff, the rod on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian." The Lord will take away the oppression that holds his people down. He will defeat all the enemies, the oppressors. And the Lord says that he will do it as he did it at Midian, the battle of Midian. And this would be a good motivation to learn Bible history. When God's people heard this the first time, like at the battle of Midian, probably God's people would have said, "Oh, we know. We know what happened there. We know that." Or maybe they would have said, "We know where to look that up. We know what happened before. We know what God did before." Right? Bible history. The history of God with his people is recorded for us to remind us, to confirm for us what God is like, what God can do, what he has done before, so that we know he can do it again. if you don't know what God is like and what he did before, then your faith and your hope for the future, your future faith, doesn't have enough to lean on, to be strong in. But when you know God and his past work, then your faith rests on something solid. What happened at Midian? God defeated the oppressor, the Midianites. Basically, the Lord God did it without the help of anyone. Or we could say, the Lord God did it with a little bit of help from the remnant of Gideon's army. You can look it up in the book of Judges. God did it with just a few. But ultimately, God did it himself. He made the Midianites defeat themselves. God did it, and all his people really did, that small army of Gideon. All that God's people really had to do was turn on the lights and then mop up when it was all done. Judges chapter 7. Now, knowing that, that gives backing to the Lord's word here in Isaiah chapter 9. The Lord God will bring about a beautiful future for you by defeating your enemies for you, like he did it before. See, when we know that, then we know sin and Satan and death, they are no match for the Lord, our God. He can win with many or few, and he does it very well with just a few, or only by himself. The Lord can easily free us from the power of the enemy, as Bible history will show you. Later on, when Jesus came, God won the greatest victory all by himself with his only Son, Jesus on the cross. God's victory given to us, given to sin-oppressed people. God broke the power of our enemy, sin and Satan and death, and put an end to the hardware of war and oppression. This is the hope God gives to his people, hope that has a real historical basis. Yes, we can believe it will happen like that again. That's how the Lord helps. It happened before, like this. The Lord can and will do it again. It's not empty hope that we have. It is solid hope, and we know that when we know our Bible history to get solid ground underneath our hope for the future. Then comes a second component of how the Lord will bring about our hope for the future. A child will be born, a son given to God's people. A child born, a son given, gives the idea of a new beginning for God's people. A new root from which will spring a newness for all God's people. There are four things we can say from the text about this person. First of all, he is identified with beautiful titles. He is identified elaborately, very richly, as someone who is and who has everything that God's people would ever want in a king. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This means he is God himself on David's throne. That's the very best kind of king God's people could ever have. God himself on David's throne. The second thing that the text says, the prophecy says, he comes with all the authority and power of God. The government is on his shoulders. And, says the word of God, there is no end to his government, his rule. He rules God's people with rightful authority and almighty power. That's great. The third thing, he establishes and he keeps going the best kind of rule, justice and righteousness. Peace is also mentioned, justice and righteousness. And why is that important? By his rule, that kind of rule, he will lead God's people the opposite way of sin. Justice and righteousness is the other side of sin. He will lead according to God's standards for God's kingdom. And that is key to his rule, because it's sin that brings us into darkness. We need God to come in, God to come among us, to lead us away from and out of our sin. Then we will be truly beyond the darkness. We need someone who rules in justice and in righteousness. And the fourth thing we can say from God's word here is that his rule in justice and in righteousness, his rule will be a forever rule. There is no end to the increase of his government. He rules in justice and in righteousness from now on and forevermore. Never-ending rule where sin cannot ever again interrupt and break down and destroy and oppress. Beautiful things said about this coming ruler. In the ruler who is God and whom God gives on David's throne, there comes a new beginning for the house of David, who will be the new beginning for the people of God, who will ensure that sin is well and good behind us and forever. Darkness gone forever, the light shining forever, and life thriving. And this future hope for Isaiah and God's people at that time, we can say where we are, we can say that future hope has already come now in David's son, God's son, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. So that's how far ahead we are where we are in history, in God's work. That's how far we are. The child has been born, and he is much further along than having just been born as well. The child has been given. We are included in his great rule. We are included in the rule of the one who has definitively put sin behind him and behind us. He came with justice and righteousness. He died for our sins, and in him we too now have died to sin and may live to God. Romans 6. It's a beautiful time that we live in, because we may say the new beginning for us has come and has taken hold at God's right hand. So those are the two components of how the Lord will bring about the future hope. He will destroy all our enemies, and he can do it all by himself, and he will rule us in justice and righteousness to bring us away from sin to his glorious presence. And then there is a final seal or a pledge put on this beautiful hope, this prophecy about the future. The text ends with, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." This is like the great guarantee, the great pledge put at the end of this prophecy. The great guarantee that it will happen. It will happen. This hope will become reality. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it. Which is to say, if this happens, it doesn't depend. It doesn't depend on us. It doesn't depend on any creature. It doesn't depend on time. It doesn't depend on history or empires or circumstances. It completely depends on the Lord God alone. That's good news. It only depends on God Himself. This is what He has set His heart on, a future restored kingdom for His people beyond sin and darkness forever. Nothing will stop God's zeal. He is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven's armies, and He can get it all done and all by Himself. In Jesus, God's Son, David's Son, the light is shining already. The day has dawned. The mountain of the Lord has been reached by Jesus already on the other side of the deep valley of sin. Sin has not won. The enemies have been defeated. We are, in terms of time, we are in the mopping up stage of history, of God's great work in Christ. Therefore, all the more reason to come out of the darkness. Come out of the darkness. Stay out of the darkness. The darkness has lost. The light is shining. Live in the light of the good news of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Come to Jesus, who settled right with us, right in Capernaum, so that regular people could reach Him too. And that's us, regular people, regular sinners, who need hope and light and life. God gives it in the child who has now been born and given, who is now reigning at God's right hand and coming again soon. Amen.